Okay, welcome to the Kaleidoscope 2 session. I had a look at the program and it will be really an exciting session, which is started by Przemyslaw Bieczek. I think it was not correct pronunciation. He is a statistician in Poland, and what's very interesting that he will not speak about visualization of data, he speaks about visualization of models. So you have the floor.
Thank you. So my name is Przemyslaw Bieczek and I am going to talk about two things that are very interesting for me. Visualization and predictive modeling, aka machine learning. And basically this talk will be rather like a dive and we'll see different tools that can be used in this area. I'm going to present like 10 packages and we have just 15 minutes, so maybe let's start. And the first question that I need to address is actually, do we need plots to understand numbers? And I hope you agree that yes, we do. And a nice example that I really like to show is this data Zaur. Like clearly, this simple visualization shows much more than some basic statistics. So if you are presenting the right thing, then you can really see something that is important. So for data viz, it's good. And we are very lucky because R is known that it's a very good tool to do data visualization. The basic R graphs is very powerful. And also for years, we have a very nice package, ggplot2. And we can use this package. And there is more and more people that are using this package to do data viz. And the nice thing about this package is not only that it creates a very nice plot, elegant and nicely looking, but it's also that the logic of a package is tightly connected with the way how people are reading plots. So we are expressing plots, so we are writing these, you know, ggplot2 comments to actually kind of reverse the way how people will read plots. And it's very nice that the cognition aspect of reading the plot is connected with the way how the plot is designed. So for data viz, I think that we can all agree that it's important. What about models? Do we need plots to understand models? And you may think that maybe not, because maybe it's all about accuracy. And competitions like Kaggle made us used to think that, yeah, it's mainly about accuracy. The only important thing is that to have a good model because there is some test data, and having the best score solves everything. But I will argue that it's not the case. In many cases, in many applications, you really want to have something more than just a pure raw base hard accuracy, and I am having three arguments for that. There is more for sure, but these three I like, so I am going to present them. As a computer scientist or data scientist or statisticians, we are creating tools, and sometimes other people are using our tools, if we are lucky, or if they are lucky. And we are kind of responsible to make these tools easy to understand, because people will using these tools maybe without paying deep attention what actually the model is doing. So we should be prepared for this, and we might think about data model viz as a way to actually help them to understand what they actually are doing. This is one argument, and it's copied from the blog of Robert Kosara, who is working for Tableau, and it is among one of his feelings about EuroViz conference that happens in this year. And two other arguments are related with other things, like, you know, if our models are used to take some important decisions, maybe life, death decisions, whether we should administer this drug or another drug, then maybe we need to understand the model, maybe we need to build trust for this model. And model viz might help us to actually boost this trust in a model. And sometimes, I'm a statistician, so for me it's kind of clear that models have assumptions and we should take care about them. It's not like they need to be satisfied, you know, 100%, but we should at least check something. And then we can use data viz to do something with these assumptions. So there are some reasons to do model viz. And what tools do we have to do the model viz? I will start with the package GG45. It's a very popular package. It was described in the last year in a journal. And the package basically has one function. It's called autoplot. And the function takes an object and plots something for the object. So for example, you can take an object of a class LM, and then for this object, you will get a diagnostic plot. So you have this known six diagnostic plots that's able to do something with residuals. And then this package is working for long family of models. Like, you know, there is dozens or maybe even more different classes of models that are supported by this package. And for different models, the package is doing different things. So for example, if you have a model of GLMNet, then the package is plotting paths, how the coefficients are changing along the different lambdas. If you are using some survival model, then the package is plotting the model coefficients along with the confidence intervals. Different things for different models. So I really like the package because it's producing plots in ggplot2, but I really don't like this approach. Like, you know, I should expect that if I have one function, it will do kind of similar things for different models. It will be not like I have a structure or I have a prediction, I have the diagnostic for different models. So what I'm looking for, tools that are connected with a way how we are working with models. And a typical life cycle for a prognostic model looks like that. We have a data, some idea what might be the structure, a data model skeleton, maybe a name of a function that may be used for fitting, and then we have fitting phase. The model is being fitted. Maybe we have many models, so we can do a validation. The validation might be related to verify the assumptions, or it might be used to compare different models. And if model is okay, then we can put it in the production, and it might be used for prediction. Or if the model is not okay, maybe it's not the best one, maybe there's something wrong with assumptions, then we can iterate the process and do, you know, iterate this process. So for me, plots should be kind of related to this life cycle. There are some questions, like some natural questions that arise. If I'm doing a fitting, I might be interested in a structure. If I'm doing a validation, I am more interested in comparison of models or checking assumptions. If I am doing predictions, I am more interested in a, you know, global interpretability or local interpretability. So kind of, if I'm having different ideas for models, different ideas for plots, these ideas should be linked with these questions. And during the rest of the talk, I'm going to present you like 8 packages, on average 2 for each box, and they will address different questions. So we have 4 rectangles. I will start with the last one, prediction, because I think it's the most interesting one. So prediction. Questions that you may have is like, you know, whatever, which variables are the most important, or maybe how a given variable affects the final prediction. Or maybe you are interested in, you know, what actually drives the decision for a given single point of a feature space. So let me show you some examples. For first question, it's sometimes called global interpretability. The question is, which variables are important? And there are some packages. Here I'm presenting results from Random Forest Explainer. But there is also a GG Random Forest package, and there are other packages which might be used to do the diagnostic for Random Forest. And for Random Forest, you can calculate a different measures of importance, and then you can plot these measures of importance. So for example, on this plot, you have information for each variable, how often the variable is a root in a given tree, or how often the variable is, you know, on the first layer, second layer, in different places. And then knowing that some variables are very important because they are very high in the tree, you may gain something. You can compare this measure of importance with different measures of importance. You can do these measures of, you can calculate these measures of importance for single variables or for pairs, looking for interactions. So you can basically look for whole model and fish for important variables. So this is one approach. It's not the only one. So other interesting approach is related with partial dependency plots. Here the idea is different. The idea is to take one variable and see how the expected outcome is changing across this variable, whether the relation is linear, or maybe it's monotonical, or maybe it's different. So we are kind of doing the diagnosis of a single variable, and we are interested in one or two variables. And the package PDP is very interesting because it actually supports a very long family of models. The package will be published in the next release in R Journal, so you can basically look for R Journal. There is a preprint already there, and as you see, there is a lot, large collection of models that is supported by the package, so you can create such plots for these models. And so here we are interested in a single variable. And the third example is for a very interesting method. The method is called LIME. It's about model agnostic explanations. If you are not familiar with the method, I strongly encourage you to read the paper that is, you know, listed here. It's because for me, it was one of the best papers that I have read this year. So really, it's a good paper. What is the idea? The idea is that if I have a prediction for a given object, like a patient, for example, I need to choose drug A or B, and I have selected drug A, and I would know what was a driver for this single decision. So the idea here is to kind of explain this black box model, complicated model, by looking for some surroundings, local structure, that can be explained by some white model. So we are using a white model to approximate this black box model in a given position. And this package is really cool because it's not always showing that you can use this package to find positive results, but there are also very interesting negative results. Like, for example, they show that they have trained deep neural networks to classify whatever given picture is a wolf or not. And for some cases, the classification is wrong. Like in this case, Husky was classified as a wolf. But then you can do the diagnostics and you can discover that actually features that were important for this classification were related to this background, this white background. So what the neural network has learned is not about the Husky itself, but about the background, that there is a snow. And if there is a snow, it's more likely that there will be a wolf. So using this method, you can understand what actually your very complex model is doing. So this is why I like this method a lot. So what about other phases? Briefly, I will show you examples for other phases, like fitting. There is a very nice package which addresses fitting. It's called forest model, and basically it creates a single rich information plot. It's called forest model, and the plot contains model coefficients along with confidence intervals, along with p-values, and some diagnostic information, number of non-zero elements in the X matrix. And the really powerful thing about this package is that it supports a lot of models, but it's doing this because there is other package, Broom, and the Broom package takes like 80 different classes of statistical regression models, transform these different models, some of them are in S3 classes, some of them are in S4 classes, different approaches to structure the model. So the Broom package is doing the important thing to make a tidy representation, and then the forest model package takes this tidy representation and presents this nice graphics. So a very short package doing a single thing, but it's very, very powerful. So this is about fitting. The other model, the other package I am going to show you is a factor merger. It's a very interesting package. It's related to a very specific question. Like, you may imagine that if a continuous variable, and then you have a categorical variable, and you would like to check whether there are differences between different groups of a categorical variable. So for a statistician, it's like, one-way ANOVA. And one-way ANOVA, and then post-hoc testing. But the problem with one-way ANOVA and the problem with post-hoc testing is that results might not be consistent. So here the idea is to actually present the similarity of different groups along the way how the log likelihood looks like. And then you may have a better understanding how different classes can be linked. You can use some information criteria to select the best split, best grouping for your variables. You may handle continuous variables, categorical variables, or censored variables, other variables. And if you are interested in this package, I strongly encourage you to go to the methodology session. In 20 minutes, Agnieszka Sitko is going to have a talk about this package. So what about remaining two rectangles? One of them is validation. And for validation, you may have a very different questions. One is, how good is your model? So there is a very cool package, PlotROC, which shows you the performance of a model. And also, it helps you to compare models. So if you have two models, and they are related to binary classification, then you can use this PlotROC package to compare different models. On the other hand, for statisticians, the diagnostic, the validation is rather related with some local interpretability of a model, and the local interpretability is sometimes related with residuals. So the second example in this rectangle called validation is actually a packet SurveMiner, which is focused on survival analysis. But here, for survival analysis, it's very interesting that you have different kinds of residuals. So you may have a Schoenfeld residuals, Martingale residuals, very different types of residuals for observations, for times, different things. And this package helps you to diagnose your Cox model or other models used for survival analysis to better understand whether everything is okay with the model. So there is kind of bunch of tools that helps you to understand what is in the model. And the last rectangle that I'm going to cover is reproducibility. I have just a few minutes, so I will very briefly share with you my thoughts that reproducibility is not only about Nitro, it's not only about Packrat, it's not only about Docker, because these tools are great, but they don't allow you to actually, you know, collect metadata about things that you are doing, so you cannot kind of, you know, check what is happening in your 100 Nitro scripts. So the archivis package that you can use is doing a very simple thing. It's actually create a repository when you can put different models, and then you can query the repository. So you may, for example, as a, in this example, query for all models which are which is of a class linear model, and then having collection of these models, you can do some things. So you may kind of create a big repository with all models that you have created, and then look for all models that were based on a given data set with given variables or created in a given day. It's easy to integrate this package with Nitro and other tools. So if you are interested in the package, I gave a talk about this last year during the USR 2016. Just, you know, everything is recorded. You can go there. So to summarize, the point that I'm going to make is that we are creating plots. It would be good to make these plots connected to questions that we may have. Like, you know, we should think about plots not as a nice decorations, but we should think about plots as a answers for a very selected question. So if we are thinking about fitting, if we are thinking about validation, we may have very specific questions, and we can design plots to address these questions. So since my time is over, the last slide is actually a list of blog posts or books that I think are worth reading. Thank you for listening.